A victory Monday, Patriots Monday here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us today. Christian Arkand, Andy Hart, live from Gillette Stadium. Following a victory for the first time in over a month, we can say that here as we bring the show to you live. We'll be talking with, by phone, because the players aren't here today, we'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett at 2:30. We'll be talking with Jonathan Jones at 3 o'clock. That is, of course, you know,
subject to change.
Schedule all holds up here, but I think it will, and I think that's around when we'll be talking with both of those guys. In the case of Jacoby Brissett, a big game for him, a game-winning drive, a big day, I thought, for Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo and the coaching staff. Much more creative play calling than I think we've been used to, mixed in more runs. Not a great overall day is Drake May getting popped in the head there by that same guy, that Sherwood guy again. Remember I told
you,
watch out for Sherwood.
The Forest.
Watch out for that British guy, Sherwood. He's going to come up and he's going to factor into this. He's the guy who hit him in the first Jets game, had that sack on him where he gave him the rock bottom, and then here he is coming right over the top. And listen, I don't know if that was a dirty hit or not. We can get into that. I don't think he necessarily meant to do it, but you have a quarterback going into a slide. You have a guy not pulling up. He did try and go over the top, but he did get his head, and that led to him leaving the game. Drake May with a concussion. Not right away, though, which I think is something that needs to be discussed as well. But first, let's go ahead and start with your main takeaways from an unlikely win at Gillette Stadium yesterday, Andy.
Just mixed feelings. It was like a Rich Keefe Sunday drink beverage. It was all mixed up. I didn't know what to – like, Drake May I loved. I thought the Josh Allen comparisons were on full display in that first quarter. Him running for the touchdown, the throw that didn't count. Maybe there's a little Patrick Mahomes there from a few years ago in the Super Bowl and everybody was raving about incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to rave about that throw that hit Thornton in the chest. That was a great play. Then he gets hurt. Then Jacoby Brissett comes in, plays well, give him credit. You win the game. I wasn't rooting against them. I don't know if I was necessarily rooting for them to win it because now you're dropping down. You see Carolina, you're like, wow, they really stink. They're going to get the number one pick.
Looks like it.
You could end up with, who knows, you got more winnable game next week. I just... all torn up, but I think for Gerard Mayo, not necessarily anybody else, not the Patriots in 2024 or even the organizational rebuild or anything, for Gerard Mayo in a, I guess it's an 8-day span, Sunday to Sunday, everything that went on, the totality of the soft comments and the walk it back from soft comments, the coach Stacy told me to just focus on the Jets comments on Friday, I thought Gerard Mayo, that was a big win against the Jets. And it even elicited some responses, like J.J. Watt, who was very critical of him, immediately was like, Coach Mayo got it done. Mm-hmm. Team played for him. And it was a resilient win. Now, I'm going to steal the phrase I used in their last win, which was way, 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 way back in week one. You had a willing foe. The Jets blow. They have, in all senses of the word, coaching, quarterback play, culture, they stink. And they played the willing victim for you, and you needed that.
I wanted to wait a little bit before digging into the Jets here because I don't want it to be the main thrust of what happened yesterday. And I think what you said first is true. I think this was a win mostly for Gerard May. I mean, it was the biggest win for him. I'd put Alex Van Pelt up there too because I thought the play calling was much more inspired and much more creative, and it seemed like he was just doing things differently than he had the previous 6 weeks, and it paid off for him, and it looked like the offense was operating at a better level. And really, all the drives that stalled out because of big drops from the wide receivers.
Yep.
Who we also have to talk about, which is, again, something I want to postpone a little bit here because it's a negative and they did win the game. But between the Jets and the timeouts, I've never seen a team take 3 timeouts in the first quarter and none of the timeouts were an injury timeout before. I don't think I've ever seen that.
It was ineptitude on full display, and they kind of pointed fingers back and forth. Ulbrich was very, you know, operation, but that includes Aaron. He made sure to put the quarterback's name in there, his Hall of Fame quarterback's name in there, which Rodgers, I thought, might get a little spicier after hearing that, but he wasn't really. He kind of went detail by detail. Oh, this happened and that happened. But they are a mess, those timeouts. The delay of game on the 2-point conversion with the game on the line. Basically, the game's on the line there. And then it almost seemed like they get the penalty, so they go from the 2 to the 7.
Right.
And it's like they ran the same play.
Yeah.
Which would have worked at the 2.
Yeah.
Would have worked at the 2. It would have been a 2-point conversion. But now you're at the 7. You can't run the same damn play. They are a mess. But forget... we thought the Patriots were
a mess. I think that ayahuasca has ruined his mind. I think it's
something
ruined his
has.
Brain.
Like, I don't,
he can't, you know, like
it
he
might
can't
be.
Count anymore.
I don't think he cares.
Maybe
I don't
not,
think
yeah.
he's invested. I've been talking about this for weeks, that look. And we have the lights here, and it's just like that. like staring off dismissively into the lights. Like, I don't know where he's at, but you're right. We shouldn't be talking about the Jets. We can get into that. We can also leave that for Mike Greenberg and Mike Francesa and all those on that side of things.
it's been funnier than them. I'll definitely agree.
But the Patriots won. Like, Drake May looked good. Drake May leaves. And I heard one of our predecessors, whatever you want to call them, Jones and Keefe, and I forget which one it was, say, this was perfect Jacoby Brissett. I don't want to see him play 17 games. I don't really want to see him start week one. But when I need a guy to come in and not let the wheels fall off and make a couple plays, that throw late to Booty is a great play.
It was.
Whether he saw the blitz or not, don't care. He took the hit. He stood in there. He delivered it. Booty made the catch, the whole thing. And you needed that probably as a team. You know, as much as I am in the I was trying to look up. I put up a poll, by the way. Everybody likes the win. It was like 71% last I checked it.
I voted yes. I liked it.
Everybody liked the win. And I did offer up, nope, wanted the pick, but also mixed feelings.
Right.
So that was only like 28, 29% combined, both at around 14%. So everybody likes the win. I do think part of it was it's the Jets and kicking them while they're down, stomping them while they're down.
I'll admit that's a big part of it for me. You know, this wouldn't matter if they did this to the Titans.
What if it were like Cleveland, and Cleveland passed you and jumped you in the standings? Would you care? Probably not.
No.
Like, it's the Jets. You like kicking the Jets.
I don't like
Jets.
Cleveland. You know, I don't like Watson or whatever, but, like, he wasn't playing last week.
Right.
So, yeah, the Jets are a different
special
thing. Jets are special. It's maybe that's just, you know, all the years of Belichick hating them. But, yeah, it being the Jets definitely made it different. And one of those things where it's like, okay, you can sacrifice the draft pick or a spot or two. If you
still
look at Tankathon
feelings
right now, the Patriots have the third overall pick. It goes Carolina, Tennessee, Patriots' next opponent, the Patriots, and then at four, the New York Jets. So, yeah, this was a season where, and there was a meme going around with Michael Scott shaking hands with his old boss
The
long hair. It's like, no expectations whatsoever, Patriots. Highest expectations in a decade, the Jets, 2-6. They're both 2-6, and that's what they are. And listen, I think that the Patriots are still going to have a very good draft pick this year. I think it's probably going to be top five. But even if they win four games, five games even, I don't think they will, but even if they do, and they're picking sixth or seventh or something like that, I think there's going to be at least three teams at the top who are going to want quarterbacks. Carolina's going to want a quarterback.
Yep.
Tennessee's going to want one. The Jets might want a quarterback.
Oh, no, I think they absolutely are going to be in QB and
sure.
coach search.
Vegas has the seventh pick right now.
Yep.
They're 2-6. They're tied with you. They could be in. They definitely need
problem
a quarterback.
Problem is there are no quarterbacks.
Well, maybe
who wants
not.
Who?
If there's four teams that are desperate for one, they'll figure out, they'll make one the guy they want it to
oh,
be.
Oh, they will. I mean, and they'll
that's
make
what'll happen.
Multiples.
Yes.
Like, they talk themselves into teams. And the latest one is Nussmeier, the kid out of LSU.
Yeah.
I saw, I'm drawing a blank on who it was, but a respected draft guy who just does draft, not a part-time draft guy, said he might have Nussmeier as the number one quarterback in this draft.
Wow.
And that's where we are. But
Shadur had a good week.
Shadur did?
Shadur had a good week.
And Shadur is good.
Yeah.
I think the baggage hurts Shadur more than the on-field physical abilities.
What if the Jets draft Shadur and Deion's the coach? That'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Awesome from our perspective.
That would be great. Come on. Jets week would be the best thing ever.
And you'd have it for 2 years before the whole thing crashed and burned and blew up and
probably.
They were back looking for coach and quarterback.
Although,
again,
in fairness, Colorado's bowl eligible. I mean, that whole thing turned around in one season and now they're back in a bowl. That's
I know, but they have two of the best players in college football. They should be bowl eligible.
It's true.
They might
true.
Have the best college football player to come through in multiple years in Hunter.
Yeah, well, that
you
all
should
I say
that.
All that to say this. If the Patriots are picking sixth or seventh, there's still going to be a bunch of top elite tackles and elite wide receivers.
Yeah, but you're not in the trade conversation.
Whatever. I mean, that's fine. If you get the guy that you want.
You're shrugging off two first-round picks if you're number one.
I don't know you get two first-round picks. You might. I mean, it might be the seconds. It might not be. It might be a future first-round pick, that type of thing.
I'll take that, too.
I don't know. That'd be fine to have, I guess. I wouldn't sneeze at it, but I'd be all right with the sixth or the seventh overall pick and just getting the guy that you want there, too, and not having to worry about making sure you get the right trade offer that you want. Either way, I think you're doing all right in terms of the draft pick. If they win, part of me wants to see them win at least four games just to shut up Mike Lombardi. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I kind of want to see. Don't you want to see that?
Absolutely.
Don't you want to see
that's
this
the best argument yet.
Match what Belichick did in his last year and say, hey, guys, with your awesome run defense last year, we won the same amount of games you did, and I'm a rookie head coach.
Well, that's a reason to actually root for five, probably, because then Mayo gets his guarantee. He guaranteed more wins. Then they win five games, which is one more than Belichick, and you did it with a rookie quarterback / journeyman backup. I don't even know how it's going to play out in the coming weeks. Because that's the other factor in this game. I would be all in, I think, if Drake May had led the game-winning drive. And Drake May is making plays with the game. Because that is absolutely money in the bank, yep, value, experience. Because Drake May, I believe, got his first NFL victory while watching from afar because he's knocked out him. It goes to the starting quarterback, and he's right, the starting quarterback in the game. But there would be more value in this win to me for everybody, including the quarterback, if Drake May did it. Because now it's like it's starting that process. I mean, this might be the last game that Brissett wins with the Patriots. Who knows? Like, it's not going anywhere. He knows that. Actually, he doesn't know that, and we'll talk to him about that in a few minutes, about a couple little clapbacks or whatever you want to say, sure, to the media about how hard it is to win and faith that they may or may not have in him. But he deserved it,
and
right?
Now he's glad he didn't listen to us.
Yeah.
And that he, you know, believed in himself. And I, hey, listen, you win the game, you can take all the victory laps that you want. He earned that. He earned every single bit of that, just like I feel like he earned every single bit of criticism in the first 5 weeks that he played. He didn't play well. I mean, come on. What are we supposed to do?
Oh, well, and we praised him in week one.
It's true.
We praised him sort of in week two, and then it kind of really went south.
Yeah.
I feel like we just mirrored the action on the field. We said what we saw. It wasn't personal. I feel like everybody always said, oh, he's such a nice guy, but .. Like, he stinks. He can't move the rush, the whole thing, mm-hmm, and miss throws, whatever. So I don't think it was ever personal. But if he wants to put a chip on his shoulder and then go in there, well, first of all, and see Drake May concussed and be like, hey, guys, anybody going to look at the quarterback who's acting funny over here? And it's not me, it's him. And I'd like to play today. So maybe take him into the tent and I'll go in the game and reignite my career.
He was right up there, huh? Like, after the hit, you saw him right up there. He's got the hat on. He's talking to the coach. He was engaged in whatever was happening there.
He was active earlier. Or maybe, yeah, earlier with Mayo. Very, like...
Yeah, they were talking a lot, yeah.
And I don't really... I'll add that to my list. What were you talking about before you went in with Mayo?
The other thing is, when May took that shot from Sherwood, he was down for a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't pop right back up. He was down, and his teammates came over, and they were standing around him, and there was a minute there where you were like, oh, wait a minute. Did he actually get hit? Because in real time, I didn't think he touched him.
I thought he missed him.
In real time, I thought he jumped right over him, and he didn't touch him, and everything was fine, and he was just going to get up and run the next play. And instead, you're like, well, wait a minute. What happened there? They showed two replays. They showed one where you couldn't see anything. It was like this front view, and you couldn't see anything that was happening. And then they showed the one that everybody saw where he's coming across this way, like coming towards the camera. And you see, he gets him. I mean, he did. He got him in the back of the head. And this is a play that, in real time, a lot of people didn't notice. The concussion spotter didn't notice. They sent him right back out there.
I find a little weird.
Do we find it weird anymore?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. After the Sam Darnold thing in the end zone, after the Gibson face mask, like, there's a whole crew of men out there who are supposedly all very good at their jobs, know where to look, you know, and have good eyes, and they miss everything. So, as you said, depending on the angle, this was sort of an easier one to miss, even though when you see the replay, then you're like, ooh, that's bad. Because I do think that's bad, despite Ed Reed's conversation with the Mannings last week when he was describing how concussions happen.
Right.
It doesn't surprise me when you get hit there. Like, just even to put your head down, like, that feels uncomfortable. And to take a blow to the back of the head like that, it does not surprise me that it left him, didn't leave him incapable of playing because he kept playing.
Right.
It left him incapable of passing the protocol when he actually got put in it.
Yeah, and I think a conversation at some point has to be had about this, because this isn't the first time this year that you've seen a quarterback go into a slide, get hit on his way down, and there's no flag on the field or anything, and then, you know, guy's knocked out of the game.
And then whatever. I have to bitch at all the fans, hear the fans bitch, if that was Patrick Mahomes, the guy'd be kicked out of football forever. I'm so sick of the Mahomes syndrome around here. So sick of it. And part of this is I hear it in my own house. My damn son is the bitchiest Patriots fan that's ever existed. And he got mad last night in the 49ers game because they were making comments relating a Purdy play to Mahomes. They're like, it's not exactly Patrick Mahomes, but Brock Purdy moving around a little bit, something we've talked about.
Sure.
And he's like, why? Every quarterback does that. Why they got to talk about Mahomes? Stop talking about Mahomes. He's not in this stupid game. Like, Patriots fans are hung up on Mahomes, and it's not healthy.
Sounds like it. I didn't realize
that. Oh, yeah, Fitzy. All the you peoples that I talk about
are
hung up on Mahomes.
Interesting.
Hung up.
Scared. Scared about where he's going.
Oh, absolutely.
Scared of the trajectory that he's on.
Yes, and the notoriety that he's getting, and the fact that their guy is done, so he can't continue to sort of defend himself with his play and his activity on the field, and if anything, what he's doing now, he's not very good at, so that's kind of losing a little luster
on
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're freaked out about Mahomes, and you just sent one of your players to them.
Yeah,
that's also sad, too.
That just happened today. Josh Uche has been traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, in case you didn't hear it, for a sixth-round pick. that is going to be for the upcoming draft, 2025 draft. The Chiefs now get a mediocre pass rusher, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
he did have a good year 2 years ago.
With Judon
on the other side. So, it was Judon's last healthy year.
Line him up behind Chris Jones, and he might have some plays. You know what I mean? Like, he can get the sloppy seconds. He's never going to be the guy that leads to the play, in my opinion. But and Spags is a good coach. He does more out of pass rushers, more
that
out of
that offense
guys.
Isn't doing anything this year.
Oh, no, the defense
is the reason why they undefeated.
And he's joining that party. Yep. And, I mean, he's guaranteed to go to the postseason. So, for him, like, I'm going to the postseason, and I'm going to be a free agent because he signed a one-year deal. I think it's great for him. Personally, and I heard people bitching about the return on investment. Like, you got a sixth round pick. I don't really care when it is. That's actually a round higher than I thought. Now maybe that's because it's delayed to 2026.
Right.
It's really a seventh round pick.
And he's also rental because he's only got one. It's just 1 year. Right.
But I just want assets, and I like that Mike Giardi put out a tweet. We can get into this later. Basically, the Patriots are open for business.
Yeah, let's get into that now.
Actually, love it.
Because I think that's an important
Elliot Wolf's a
here.
Fraud, but I like it.
You win a game, all right? You're 2-6, and you're like, yeah, that's
for
great.
Sale, baby.
Nice win, but let's start getting on with our lives here. I don't know exactly who that's going to mean. I don't know if Kendrick Bourne has a tremendous amount of trade value after that last game. Bourne was the one guy who didn't really make a jackass out of himself over the last couple of weeks. He was the guy I thought was supposed to be the adult in the room.
Looked like a seal trying to catch the ball.
He couldn't catch the bus. Like, it was unbelievable. Listen, I like Kendrick Bourne. I don't know. I don't know if he was one of those guys. There was the rumors about him getting traded to the Niners. I don't know if anybody wants him after that. Like, on a team in a wide receiver room where no one can catch the ball, he stood out last night. And that's...
Booty was bad.
I should say. Booty was bad, but he redeemed himself.
Thornton was bad.
And Thornton only had the one drive. I mean, he picked up a big third down at the end of the game.
Biggest play of the game. It could have been, like, another one of my recruiting
Bourne
videos.
Bourne was 0-for-3. He didn't catch one ball.
Well, he's
with three
drops.
Okay, fine. He's back, though. And he's been back for about a month. So, I'm sorry. Like, that's...
Well,
that
it takes
me,
a full year.
It takes a whole year, then.
It takes
fine.
A full year to get all the way back. But I would basically... If I'm Elliot Wolf and somebody says, hey, Elliot, it's whatever, Joe Douglas from the Jets. I wanted to talk to you about wide receiver. If they say wide receiver, I'd say yes. I would just... Even DeMario Douglas, I'm starting to think we overrate. Am I wrong?
I like
that
screen in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
He had the screen, and then I don't think he looked his way again.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't – and he's the guy that I'd like to keep, but I do think right now the classic, all these receivers are fighting to stick around.
Yep.
Because you may need to get 4, 5, 6 new receivers in here somehow over the next 12 months for Drake May. And I know the high-end ones, the first-round pick, the $100 million guy, but I'm talking about the next layer. I don't know if I want any of them. I don't know if any of them have long – Baker, okay, you're finally active. Thornton feels like he's playing his way right now.
I think that's
town.
Probably it for Thornton. But, we'll
but
see,
any of them, like Booty?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you made a catch late, a couple catches late to win the game. I'd like you to be more consistent than that, especially if you're going to be popping off about having to ask for the ball or getting the ball. Well, you know how the best way to get the ball is? Catch it when they throw it to you.
Right.
They'll throw it to you again. When you drop it, no one wants to throw it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, this wide receiver room is – a work in progress at best.
I heard Jones and Keefe talking about this. They said, well, what's a more urgent need right now? If you're picking in the draft really high, what would you rather have, a wide receiver or a tackle? And I think right now you have less tackles on the roster. Like, you don't have a lot of bodies there, but I'd still go wide receiver just because what you have a lot of bodies, but do you want any of them? Like, do you want any of these guys to stick around? If all of these guys were off the team next year, would that bother anyone?
No, absolutely.
You think it would bother Drake May even? Like, I don't think anybody would be all that upset about it.
No, especially if he found out
jersey sales over here wouldn't be affected very much.
Who like, has any of their jerseys?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no real loss. You know, you just start over with a new batch, and you hope that the next 4 or 5 guys aren't all wrapped up in their own stuff like these guys.
The only thing I would say is, I think we're getting to the point where Verdarian Lowe, we're kind of like. Talking ourselves into maybe he's not that bad kind of thing. And
I'm doing that.
But that doesn't mean I want him to be Drake May's left tackle for the foreseeable future.
I think you can do better, but you might be able to do better in the third round or, if
Like Cade
find
Wallace?
A guy, sure. Well, you actually Layden pick a Robinson? Left tackle this time, like Washington did.
Or all these other Jags. I don't even know who the guys they got the last three. The middle of the draft is not where you get elite tackles. You want an elite tackle, you take him in the first damn round.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But I also
and Drake
think
May, I think, can make receivers better than he can make tackles better, even though I think he can make both better.
Maybe, but you don't have that guy on your team right now. You don't have a playmaker on your team right now.
You don't.
I'd say Vidarian Lowe is closer to the left tackle that you would like to have for Drake May going forward than any of these wide receivers are.
That's an interesting question.
I would say he's closer to what I would like to have. You know, if you're talking like long term, this is going to be your left tackle. Vidarian Lowe, I'd rather have him there than any of the wide receivers that are in the room right now.
I don't know.
To upgrade one or the other.
I mean, Booty, if you look at it, yesterday the drops were an issue. I'm not saying they weren't. But he won the game for him. Big catch and then short catch, which I think was a touchdown. But he didn't get it. They gave it to Stevenson, which I wasn't sure it was a touchdown.
I didn't think Stevenson got in.
I think they screwed both of those
doesn't
up.
Doesn't matter. Just like they screwed up those pass interferences in the beginning. They had one that clearly they missed, and then they had a makeup call.
It was absolutely.
And then they walked him right into the end zone after that. That was ridiculous.
But Booty has been, obviously, the deep ball touchdown in the first game, then the deep ball down the left sideline. He's made some plays.
He's made some plays, but you don't think you can find that guy out there somewhere?
Who's
also not going to whine and complain about not getting the ball?
Oh, I don't know. They're all Divas.
Maybe.
And
yeah.
I still am not giving up on DeMario Douglas. I think if you asked Drake May, I think Booty and Douglas would be like, if he were like the GM that got to pick the keeper league guys, I think he'd probably say, I'll keep Douglas and I'll keep Booty. The others do what you need to do.
What about Vidarian Lowe? I mean, if you're talking about who's on the roster
the guys
right
that
now,
are here, absolutely.
Of
he's
the guys
the keeper.
Right now, he's way up above them, I'd say.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that means he's a starting left tackle in the National Football League.
All right.
You know who he is? He's a swing tackle.
Yeah.
He's like Jacoby Brissett. You don't feel terrible
ideally, he's probably
if Vidarian
tackle,
Lowe
yeah.
comes in because your left tackle got hurt. I'm not sure I want him for 17 games. And he's also been a little injury prone.
That's true. Yes, he has. We will be joined in the next segment by Jacoby Brissett. He'll be calling in, so we'll talk to him, get his take on that drive at the end of the game, and everything going forward, if he knows what's going on for next week, and any other questions that we may have for Jacoby Brissett. That's all coming up right after Stiz tells you what's trending. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline is Jacoby Brissett. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Mr. Brissett, do we have you?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, well, good to talk with you, and what a game yesterday, a game that I'm sure you weren't expecting to be thrust into in the way that you were. It seemed like afterwards, talking to the media, you were very high, riding high on that one. Are you still riding high again this morning and today, this afternoon?
I wouldn't say I was riding high. I think it was more of, obviously happy that we won, but I wouldn't consider it was anything out of the norm for me.
Did you feel vindicated, I guess, because you said a couple things post-game that kind of stuck out to everyone. One about, it's hard to win in the NFL, even though we as media maybe don't acknowledge it, and that you had confidence in yourself, even if we didn't. So were you a little bit offended by some of the coverage? I'm just wondering what those comments were about.
I think that's just the nature of the league and people who haven't, been in it, have the comments that some people do, and I really don't know what the word vindicated means, but I definitely I wouldn't say offended. It was more of just stating the obvious.
Okay, I'm not sure what that is, but that throw to Kayshon Booty, you said that you didn't see the rush coming after the game there. The throw seemed to be in the perfect place for where the blitzer was coming from. When did you know that was the way you wanted to go with that ball?
Based on the coverage, I knew that was going to have to be who had got the ball. It was more of being able to get it out there, which I didn't think I got it out there well enough based on my legs got kind of taken out of from under me. But Booty made a great play that we needed at the right time. And it was just a matter of trying to give him a chance. And he did the rest. I think he did the hard part on the play rather than me.
Just rewinding a little bit, so you saw something with Drake May that led you to believe he wasn't quite right. How did that go on the sideline?
I didn't think that was the case. I was just as unaware as everybody else was. I didn't expect him to not come back in the game. That was for sure.
Okay. Well, when you did get the call and you knew that it was going to be probably your game for the rest of there, considering it was concussion protocol, You've been sitting and sort of watching for the last 5 weeks. How'd the offense feel differently from maybe it did in the last game that you played in?
I wouldn't say different. I mean, it was different for me being back in there. That's for sure. Just because I mean, any time off from playing, you know, it takes a little while to get back into it, obviously. But obviously, you know, without having those reps and practice and things like that, you can't really match the intensity of football. So I think there was more of me just adjusting rather than anything.
The wide receiver position, I guess there's been a lot of noise around. I don't know if that's how exactly I would describe it. You know, criticism from the outside, and those guys have been kind of on social media saying things. There were some drops yesterday. How have you seen that group kind of handle everything that's been going on to the point where, obviously, Booty made a couple big catches for you to help you win that football game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of the course of the league, you know, and you know, it's ups and downs in anything, you know, and I think, you know, those guys coming in to work each and every day and you know, and finding ways to go out to the field and make those plays, what they do on their social media and what they do on the media, that I have no control or really care what they do, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I just know that the work that those guys put in and how they, you know, come in and work every day and put their best foot forward, and that's all you can ask for as a teammate.
Have you heard anything about your status for this upcoming week? And if not, when do you expect to?
I haven't, and I think I'm on the program of I hear when you guys hear or I hear whenever I need to know. So I guess I don't know anything right now.
What has it been like for you the last few weeks? What has your role been? We even saw you, it seemed like, interacting on the sideline early in the game with Coach Mayo, a lot of conversations with him. What has sort of your role been like behind the scenes doing the backup quarterback duties, being a mentor to Drake, whatever else you've been up to?
I think it's hard every week. I mean, it's just more of like you figure out your role and what you got to do that week based on, you know, situations and things like that, you know, and just finding ways to stay in tune and be a part of this team and help the guys out, help Drake out, help where I can and, you know, figure out, you know, I guess I'll know at the end of the year what what my role was when I look back on it. But right now it's just, you know, week to week trying to figure out what my role is each week, you know.
You talked earlier about reporters and, you know, people like us maybe not knowing everything that goes on behind the scenes. What would you say is something that people often get wrong about you or maybe your role on this team?
Man, I don't want to get into it. I mean, people just don't know me. They, like I said, everybody has what their vision of what the results that they want. And when they don't get it or when things just don't roll that way, it's so easy to, you know, to I guess, try to figure out something as if they could make that decision, you know. So, you know, I don't really get into, like, telling people what my role is. I just go out there and do the best that I can and you know, take it day by day.
Do you feel like you're one of the 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in the NFL?
That's very easy.
Is that a yes, I should assume?
Oh, yes, that's very easy to understand that.
Okay. I would imagine.
Just making sure.
That's probably not an easy no if that's where we're going, if it's very easy. All right, the quarterback question of the week.
No, not at all.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. They are the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes to us from Reggie in Watertown. And Jacoby, he asked, was that the best game that you ever came into mid-game? Was that would you think in your career, the best performance that you had in a game that you didn't start?
I wouldn't say so. It wasn't.
What was your best?
I mean, I've been in this league for a while. I had to come in a lot. That's a hard question for me to ask. I know it wasn't my best. I've come in, a couple times. It's just, I didn't even think I'd play that well. I think a lot of guys just made a lot of plays. So, I have to think about that question.
How important was this win for the Patriots, for Gerard Mayo, all the stuff last week about calling the team soft and people responding to that? How important was this win to help this football team take a step forward?
It's important because we needed one. You know, we're obviously going through a slump and trying to figure out ways to finally do get a win. You know, I mean, we've had a couple games where we've been able to fight in, and it's obviously the ball doesn't bounce our way. So, you know, you have to figure out on those losses how to actually win. And I think yesterday was a chance that we, you know, kind of, you know, found a way to get over that hump in the middle of the game and actually do come out with a win. I think that's good for a team that's still trying to build something, that's still, you know, moving in the right direction. It's just a matter of, you know, when things do start to roll our way. And, you know, we definitely needed that one in the worst way, especially a division win at home.
Along those lines, does it annoy you as a professional, putting your body on the line, if and when you hear fans talk about draft picks and wanting to lose games to get better draft picks and things of that nature?
That's just one of those things, like I kind of alluded to earlier. It's just like people that don't really know like what about being in this profession and being doing this job is, whereas they just come up with crazy ideas and crazy things to say just to, you know, waste time, you know. But I mean, you got guys on this team that are professionals, and this is how they feed their family. They're not going out there trying to. I doubt anybody on this team cares about a draft pick or anything like that.
All right, Jacoby, before we let you go here, as a quarterback in the NFL, do you feel protected out there? Because there was no flag on that play with May. You've taken a bunch of shots this year, some that I thought deserved some flags out there. Overall, do you feel like things are fair for you guys out there and that they're moving in a positive direction player safety-wise?
I mean, I think all the rule changes are literally to protect the quarterback. Some of the things they're going to miss, some of the things they're not, you know, it's like I thought it was a penalty, but I mean, along the lines of, you know, if they don't call it, they don't see it. You know what I mean? One of those things. But I do think at certain points, but, you know, I don't know. I can't officiate a game, so I really don't know how to do it. But for the most part, most of the rule changes are literally to protect the quarterback. So I don't know.
All right, well, we'll leave it right there then. Jacoby Brissett, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this week against Tennessee, and we'll talk to you maybe, or we won't. Either way, it's been nice.
Thanks, Jacoby.
Sounds good, thank you.
All right, it's Jacoby Brissett, quarterback who led the comeback against the Jets yesterday here at Gillette Stadium. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the New York Jets. I put it off long enough. We did a little bit on them, but we need to take a deep dive into exactly what went wrong with this team and how long it's going to take to get them back on track if things keep going this way, and what's up with Aaron Rodgers. That's all coming up next. Nice work there by Stiz, recounting the big mistake at the end of the game. The New York Jets unable to beat the clock on a two-point conversion. Another thing I've never seen before. I've never seen 3 non-injury timeouts in the first quarter, and I've never seen that on a two-point conversion before. Just amazing. Really, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like they were trying to go back for any reason or kick for further back or try and draw them off sides. There was also that play, it was the second drive, I want to say, where it looked like Rodgers was trying to run a play, and they didn't, and they ended up going back and punting. And as he was walking off the field, the coach was clapping like, hey, we tried to draw them off sides. Good job, guys. And Rodgers is all upset.
It seemed like he
wanted to run a play, like, and like, yeah, they didn't get to. Yeah,
like the Montreal screw job. Like everybody else knew something, and he didn't know what was going on. He was so into it that he thought we were actually running a play. It's like they didn't trust it. I have no idea what's going on with the Jets. Real quick aside before we get into it, I didn't know interviewing Jacoby Brissett was going to be like talking to my wife and asking a question. Oh, that's an easy one. So I have to assume the answer.
Well, like, I think we know. When he said that's an easy one, I assumed he didn't mean that's an easy no. I'm not one of the best quarterbacks.
I don't know. I'd like you to answer the question. You've been in the league for 10 years. You've had opportunities to start, a lot of opportunities to be a backup. And, you know, I know you should have the confidence. You know, I was hoping I'd maybe get an answer where, like, as a competitor, you always have to believe you're the best guy for the job, blah, blah, mm-hmm, blah, blah. Nope. That's an easy one.
Yep. Easy one. Easy yes.
Easy. No.
He meant easy yes.
He didn't say easy yes. He just said easy.
It's true.
And I'm just supposed to assume, and that gets me in trouble at home, and I didn't want to get in trouble on the air like I get in trouble at home.
The Patriots were going up against a defense that I think was – Mosley left the game. It wasn't – the two safeties were out. They had the backup safeties in there. The Patriots did too, by the way. And I think going against that defense – and even their good players, like Sauce Gardner, got flipped around by Kayshon Booty on a long play.
He just assumed he wouldn't catch it.
Yeah. You're looking at a Jets team with
I won't say infinitely more talent than you, right? I mean, it's close infinitely. To saying infinitely more talent. At almost every single position, they have more talent than you.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
So that's infinite. You know, it's basically the same thing. Even Gardner and Gonzalez. I'd take Gardner over Gonzalez, even though he's not having a great season.
Blasphemy!
But still, I mean,
Gonzo's the best corner that's ever played. Have you been paying attention?
In the history of the league, true. And he was great against Adams yesterday.
He actually was.
He was better than Gardner was against anybody. So it's a weird time for me to say that, but I just think in general, body of work, Gardner's done it.
Prove it.
Gonzalez still hasn't played a full season yet, so that's all I mean by that.
Terrible interview on our radio station.
Well, terrible by whose standards?
Entertainment standards.
Entertainment standards. Okay,
answer standards. Actually having a conversation with people's standards. Mm-hmm. Any standard by which spoken word is measured, he's terrible at it.
Yeah, we interviewed Jonathan Jones. He's great.
He is.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. Apparently at 4 o'clock now. We bumped that back a little bit.
Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be 4 o'clock. So
guess
you say, I mean, we're fair.
I missed that text.
We were like a wrestling promotions card subject to change, right? Mm-hmm. Our interviews are subject to change.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be talking with Jonathan Jones at 4 o'clock. But what do you think? What do you think is the biggest issue with the Jets right now? Is Robert Saleh the better coach?
It seems like yes.
It seems like Saleh is keeping this thing somewhat on the tracks here. It may not have been perfect, but now with this new guy, I mean, they can't do anything. Well, they can't run the team. Like they couldn't get a play out there in time with Aaron Rodgers. This guy's been playing football forever. Like, for him to have that much trouble, and I do think the ayahuasca is starting to destroy his brain. But I really think that, like, this is a situation where an offense with a guy like him at quarterback should kind of run itself, shouldn't it?
No, he stinks. He stinks. He's done.
Yeah.
He is toast. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, it's drive.
But they couldn't get the plays in on time.
I think some of that might be the new guy. So you mentioned Saleh.
Yeah.
It can be. We've said this a lot. You can believe Belichick had to be fired and now believe Mayo's not good at the job. They can both be true. Just like you can believe Saleh needed to be fired and Ulbrich is not up to the task. And also, you can think Hackett was bad and think this guy, is it Ward? I believe Ward is the guy's name, the offensive coordinator and play caller now.
Yep.
This guy stinks too. I'm sorry. If the operation looks as inept as it has looked, he has to have some portion of that. But in the end, should you be able to just lean on a Hall of Fame quarterback who kind of has done his own thing for a long period of time? Yes. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's disinterested with what this Ward character wants to do because his guy was Hackett, right?
Yep.
And maybe he's still doing Sulky McSulk Sulk because Hackett's out and he's got Ward in. I just think the bigger issue, he stinks. Forget about the delays of game and all those things. He's not very good when he throws the football.
No.
And you have Devon Godshaw saying, I can catch him. That tells you how much he can't move.
Yeah.
Like, there, you have
Godshaw had a lot to say after that game.
Yeah, you had a...
Here's a good quote after that game.
A run-stuffing defensive tackle laughing about how Aaron Rodgers can't move. Like, they're mocking him. A big fat guy is mocking you. Mm-hmm. A guy who doesn't even make his money chasing quarterbacks is saying, I could catch you anyway.
Yeah.
I think Rodgers is absolutely done, and that's why the Jets are done.
Yeah.
They need a coach and a quarterback. You at least have, well, I think you have a quarterback.
You definitely have a quarterback, hopefully.
Might have a coach.
Get well soon, Drake, and maybe you have a coach.
You turned a corner with him. He came off the worst week of his career, his short career, with maybe the start to the best week of his short career.
Yeah.
He had a good interview with the Greg Hill Show this morning, was good on Zoom. I don't think he had any horrific missteps, spoken word missteps.
No, I don't think he had a single one.
And I was listening, and I didn't, you know, he kind of mocked. He was like, whoa, I walked that back last week the next day, and I don't know why it was such a big deal to walk something back. And I was like, well,
come on, man.
Consistency is key in
leadership. You know why that was a big deal. You called him soft.
Right.
That was pretty – that's one of those things that's going to hit the headlines. You know, it's going to be out there. People
you think
are gonna
he knew it at the time?
When he called him soft?
Yeah.
Because I usually
I think it was
know
emotional.
I think it was emotional.
Yeah.
And it was just an emotional reaction. He just blurted it out. But I think he knew, you know, I'm saying this and it's going to come back to me. He has to know that by this point.
I wonder how he delivered it in the locker room. Because you know how he tells us, everything I say out here, I already said to them.
I already told them, yeah.
You think he delivered it better in the locker room? Did he say, you guys played soft today? And then he got to the media, he's like, we're a soft team. And he was like, that didn't sound the same as when I delivered it to the team.
Good point. Yeah, I don't know. No one's
because
no
they weren't pissy.
Said how it was worded. And by the way, they responded.
Right.
They responded to that.
Jets didn't respond to Devontae Adams calling out the culture.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams was talking about the energy on the sideline and all these things that you said it. They are a more talented football team who couldn't get out of their own way. We're just screwing everything up. And I kind of agree with the rant on Twitter. Like, the Patriots are the worst football team. They are worse.
Yep.
They had the battle for the basement with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins won.
And they lost it. Right.
They had the, what did we call? What was London against the Jags?
Oh, the I don't know, the two in the loo or something.
The two in the loo.
Yeah, something like that.
That sounds like a Urban Dictionary thing.
It probably, yeah.
You got the old shocker, the old two in the loo.
Gross.
But they had been losing these games against the worst teams. They were considered the worst team. Now,
yep.
Carolina might be on an island all their own, but they hadn't crossed paths with them.
Right.
And now the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Hassan Reddick, Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. Stop me if I've said too many, all pro and Hall of Fame talents? Those are all pro bowlers, all pros, and Hall of Famers, and you just lost.
Yeah.
You embarrassed. You threw up all over yourself. Like Jameis Winston said, to quote Eminem, you got one opportunity, and you vomit on your shirt, and it's not mom's spaghetti.
No. What's crazy, too, is that they threw the ball better.
You like that, Morrell?
Aaron Rodgers had 233 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Garrett Wilson had five catches for 113 yards, and Breece Hall averaged 5 yards a carry.
Well, how disrespectful is it?
Like, they didn't play badly. You know what I mean? Like, they still lost the game. But
they played pretty badly.
If you were to say who were the best players in that game, a lot of them were Jets. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Who played the best in that game? I'd say, well, Wilson was probably the best receiver, and Hall was the better running back. Rodgers had a better game than Brissett had, I'd say, statistically, right? He had a better passer rating or whatever. Like, he had two touchdowns,
yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't his best game or anything, but you go back over it, and there was no turnovers, and you lost. Like, they still lost to arguably the worst team in the league.
But they made the biggest, you know, brain fart
definitely
plays of the game. And give Marcus Jones credit, another Jets game at Gillette Stadium.
Tremendous.
I think he won the game.
That was the play of the game.
Absolutely.
Agree. 100%
I think that
agree.
Changed the feel, the momentum. And I saw Matt Patricia. I don't know if you noticed this. Now, we need to find more outlets where we can do this. They didn't have enough on the national level.
Right.
Now we're doing local. So feel free to stop by, Matt. If you're in the area and you ever want to stop by, we'll help you mock the Jets or whoever you want to mock. But he was mocking, you know, the Jets kicking to Marcus Jones and letting him return it. And he's like, me personally, I probably would have kicked it out of bounds or kicked it away from him. But, you know, Jets are going to do what they're going to do, whatever.
He means me personally, like he would have kicked it with his foot.
Yeah, he probably does mean that.
Yeah, that's what he meant by that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've covered a lot of topics here in this first hour. We'll be joined by Jonathan Jones at 4 o'clock. But when we come back, Drake May out with a concussion. What does that mean? What does that mean for him? What does that mean for Jacoby Brissett, who we just talked to? What does that mean for the Patriots and the offense going forward? We'll discuss all that next.